Oh, did he call some chick sugar tits?
The cop.
Oh, Jesus. That's... anybody that ever gets pulled over... And, don't call the officer sugar tits.
If it's a hot chick cop, you might be able to play it right.
I've dealt with a few fairly nice hot chick cops, and I don't recommend calling them sugar tits.
Well, if you played your
cards. Especially when they're a little chick cop, they can get away with kicking the shit out of you a lot easier than, like, a big guy cop.
Because no one would believe them.
Exactly. And if you're a big guy, they can literally, you know, like, break your leg and get away with it. Closer to heaven, one road that stretches out ahead. One word that drives you to the point of decision.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. You can check us out at www.granat.
Yeah, thanks for voting, assholes.
Hey, people voted. Most of the time, they were just like, yeah, I voted for you. And I'm like, you know, you can do it more than once. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, oh, because you don't know how to read. Because I send an email out and says, hey, you can vote every 24 hours. People don't know how to read.
Well, it says that on the site when you vote.
Yeah, that's true, too.
They're just morons, and they're lying to you because they really don't love you.
They don't care. They don't love
you. You make them a fucking turkey sandwich, so it's your fault.
That's true.
Yep.
Anyway, no sour grape juice on that one. That's why I'm drinking my sour grape juice. Anyway, if you want to send us angry mails about how you voted once and whatnot, you can send those to futilepodcast@gmail.com.
Suck my dick.
Whoa, Mark.
Whoa.
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 Is that like a Joey? Whoa.
No. Joey's more like, whoa.
Whoa. Oh, God.
It was kind of like a Fonzie, hey.
Is that the sound he'd make, like, you know, in Happy Hour at the Turkish prison kind of thing?
I don't know. Probably. Or like, or like a Joey was about to bust a nut and six his eye.
No, he didn't get to bust a nut. They castrate his ass. He's just a fuck toy now.
Oh, boy.
But they grow his hair really long so you can get the extra leverage.
Yes. Oh. Yes. So, onion rings. We were talking about onion rings earlier. And yeah, I was like trying to figure out a better methodology for not making such a mess.
I don't remember it being quite like making French toast, but whatever it is, you get the flour or the
I've never used flour for French toast.
I'm thinking of the tempura mix.
Yeah.
It just always looked like floury type stuff, but it had other shit in it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is like spices and stuff in it. I'd have to ask my mom. I don't fucking know. They're always really good.
But, yeah, they
but
are.
The shit, but, you know, it depends. Beer batter is my favorite by far. But, like, you know, the onion rings at Tony's?
Mm-hmm.
Those, like you were saying, the shit just kind of crumbles off.
Well, that happens. I mean, you know, you kind of...
And they're shit.
You kind of just
They're really shitty onion rings, but whenever I go there, I have to buy them anyway. I don't know why.
You just want to try them. You want to have them.
It's like I forget every time how shitty they are.
I'm that way with pumpkin pie. Every Thanksgiving, I'll be like, yeah, I'll have a little bit of pumpkin pie. And then I eat it, and I'm like, I don't really like pumpkin pie.
You don't like pumpkin pie?
No. No, I don't.
Yeah.
It's just it's I don't like puddings. I don't like Jello. I don't like things with that sort of texture. Thing? Yeah, it's part of that.
I love custard. Right. I love pudding. I mean, who the fuck doesn't like Jello? Eat some kind of commie.
Jello's disgusting, man.
With like fruit inside.
Yeah,
a little whipped cream.
It's goo. It's weird. It's like eating fat, but it's not fat. It's protein.
Bullshit.
It's all
when I think of eating fat, you're eating a fucking steak tonight. What the hell he thinks on that?
Meat, protein. It's not gelatin. It's all texture stuff, is what it is. I just don't like. I don't like puddings.
Like in the Great Outdoors, where John Candy has to finish all the gristle on the old 96er or whatever it was.
Yep,
it was like a freaking what was it 5 pound steak.
John Candy will make it
8 pound steak. He died when he was 42. Though he did make it longer than John Belushi or Chris Farley. But I think he may have mostly just kept it to drinking and smoking. As opposed to, like, the coke and the heroin and all that.
Jesus, the Murphy. Whores.
There might have been a few whores.
There probably were, knowing John Candy. Damn.
Damn. He's been dead, over 10, like...
Yeah. Close Wagons, on Wagons East was his last movie, right? With Richard Lewis?
Yeah.
Richard Lewis well, got all with a Klimt. West? No. Because they went east, they were going west, and then they got all panicky and nebbish, and decided they needed to turn
that
around.
That was Chris Farley too, wasn't it?
No, you're getting it confused with the Lewis and Clark parody that Chris Farley was in with Matthew Perry. It was called I don't know, We Were Explorers or some stupid fucking movie like
right,
that.
With the friend.
Yeah, Matthew Perry, the friend.
The friend.
It was on Friends. That's right.
Courtney Cox like 50 now.
She's getting up there.
Yeah.
She's still dancing in the dark.
You know what made me think of that? Is that was... You know that new radio station, 95.5?
No,
where they play hits? You just check it out. It's a lot of fun.
I should check it out.
They play hits from like the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
And today? So it's mostly like neo songs and shit then?
Oh, God. It's a lot of 80s.
Oh,
it's a lot of 80s. But it's like I flipped it on the other day. And all of a sudden, it's REO Speedwagon.
Nice.
And I flipped it on another time.
I'm gonna keep on loving you.
And it was The Boss dancing in the dark, and I'm like, fucking Courtney Cox.
Man.
Yeah.
That's two different kinds of cool. The hot cool and the cool cool.
The shit that I turned on another time is like fucking Purple Rain. It's
Purple Rain. Purple Rain.
You know he's a fucking Jehovah's
Witness. Yeah. Whoa. Did it play? Follow it up immediately with that Morris Day and the Time song?
Speaking of Kevin Smith, that's what brought that whole thing up. Their whole little spat. Well, in
about
fact,
Morris Day and the Time.
You can borrow it if you want. I finished watching.
Oh, your evening with Kevin Smith stuff?
Yeah, but it's the second one.
I don't know. I saw parts of the first one, but back in college, one of my friends had it, and they were all watching it one night. And I decided that being drunk and being outside was more fun than that.
You know what I love about it is he's honest.
I remember...
And that's always kind of funny. It's kind of like Tom Noonan listening to him being interviewed about Monster Squad because he was the fucking practice time monster.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just so real. It's just funny. He comes off like a prick.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just because he's not, oh yeah, we all got along, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He just... lays it out. It was funny.
When you don't win friends with Salad, you don't win friends with Tom Noonan or Kevin Smith, huh? Mm-hmm. They don't need to. They're too good. It's just out there, and they reach, and they know, you don't know where to grab it. Know how to grab it.
He had no legs, so he had to give him that.
That's right.
He had legs, but they were like worthless. Probably like
he had to reach for the sky, just
and,
like his
and
heart.
Then you know you always have to wonder, does the prick still work?
Yeah, he works every now and again. Tom Noonan. He was...
His prick.
Oh. Oh, you mean when he paralyzed?
Uh-huh. Because...
Depends on where it is.
And
how it is.
Sometimes it works, sometimes don't.
You can get injections for that.
You can get injections.
Pills.
You can get a pump.
Yeah.
Hydraulics.
Yeah. Just blame it on her. Until she leaves you.
Because
you drove her away because you did not want to hurt her. So you made... Mm-hmm. You made her
because
hurt
she never lost it after that second pregnancy.
No.
And you know she's growing a mustache and
and
she started to look like her mom and
mm-hmm.
and you know that just gives you the fucking shits anyway just thinking about it
terrible.
So you got to do the almost back in and put her back in her corner.
Back in her corner. Put baby in the corner.
You don't put baby in a corner.
So
Jesus, I bought that. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, I know.
Oh Jesus!
Speaking of radio, most of the time my car doesn't get terribly good radio stations because I think a rat lived in the dashboard for a while.
I fucking offered to give you a stereo.
That's okay.
All you had to do was
I got a tape player in my car, and after the movie we watched tonight, I know what my next tape's going to be. For a while there, it had Ice House Tape, Measure for Measure, I think was the CD, was the album.
Oh, shit. You know, I think I have, like, an old Duran Duran tape, and I got a bunch of old shit.
If you don't want them, I'll take them. I love rocking tapes in my car just constantly because the radio doesn't work, but I want to find Running Scared soundtrack tape. 1980s, Peter Heim directing. Peter Heim's one of the few guys that actually also does his own director photography work, which means that the look is purely attributable to him.
Because like I said, I believe he was the...
he was the executive producer on this film also. He was not involved in the writing.
So he like... Oh, there you go.
But, I mean, he's been involved in the writing, I think, of 2010. I know he directed that. He did Outland with Sean Connery, which is another science fiction story. He's done a few that were pretty interesting and pretty good-looking. A lot of his stuff is kind of mediocre. This movie, it's the one... it's the Running Scared from the 80s, not to be confused with the one with Paul Walker that's just weird. That's now... the more recent one that came out, like, about 4 or 5 years ago. It was... I don't know. We did a review of that previously.
Yeah, it's a Peter Heim's production.
Yeah, and Monster Squad's a Peter Heim's production. Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. Gregory Hines doesn't do any tap dancing in this one, though, which is kind of unfortunate.
I wonder what the budget was for this.
It's probably pretty decent. I mean, you know, they had a car chase. They had to close down the L trains for that.
Big. And then, Gregory Hines, he was in The Wolfen, or was it The Howling? He'd done a bunch of shit before that.
I think it was Wolfen with Albert Finney.
Damn, he must have been young.
Possibly. Yeah, I always liked Gregory Hines, especially in the 80s, he did some good stuff. I'm trying to think of a couple other things. There was one where he is like a tap dance guy, and it's actually pretty interesting. I don't remember
what
it was
called. Based on a true... wasn't based on the life of...
I remember it being kind of like a crime story. So I don't remember. I remember it being pretty dramatic-y crime story. I don't remember it feeling like a biopic. He might have done a biopic too, but I don't know.
And then of course you got Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal, who I usually find interminable in all things, I actually really enjoyed in this movie.
It's got to be the right thing.
Yeah, it does.
And like I honestly enjoyed him in Analyze This.
He was all right in Analyze This, that's true.
It's a little harder watching him try to be the romantic lead, but when he's being him, it works.
To a degree. I enjoyed him a lot in this movie. I thought, because this movie isn't really well known, it kind of came out and it came and it went. But it's good.
It didn't have longevity. It's
one of those 80s like buddy cop comedy crime movies. It's good. It's passable. The storyline is pretty straightforward.
There were some good ones in the 80s.
There were. And these guys, Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal, are cops. They've been cops for 16 years.
And, you know, they always had to be black and white.
I don't know if they always... Lethal Weapon.
There was Stakeout. That's one that I can think of.
Stakeout was Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio Estevez, wasn't it?
Right.
That's not black and white.
No, I'm saying that's the one I can think of that isn't black and white.
Well, name more than
Beverly
one of
Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay, Beverly Hills Cop.
Another 48 Hours. Both 48 Hours and another 48 Hours.
Well, the other one, he wasn't really a cop, but yeah, I get what you mean.
This one?
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon?
I'm scared of Lethal Weapon. Well, it was a race relation.
Fucking Die Hard? Because
yeah.
You had
Twinkie Guy. You had Urkel's illegitimate father, which would make Urkel's lust for Laura.
Who's also the prison guard. Who's the prison guard in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And
I Ain't Afraid No Ghosts.
Yeah, the original.
Yes.
One they could actually smoke on screen.
Well, it must have had... Maybe it had something to do with sort of like race relations and the urban culture.
No,
most of
it's
them
just...
deal with
it's
that.
Fucking Hollywood bullshit.
Yeah.
They see something, it makes money, and they want to copy it a million fucking times until you end up with movies that aren't necessarily bad movies, but they just kind of move into obscurity because only so many can be at the top.
I guess you're right. Yeah, but this
and
one is
you got
good.
Riggs being crazy, and you can't top that. It's not top.
That's true. It's not this movie. I would say is not really other than being a buddy cop movie. It's not like trying to be Lethal Weapon. And we're back to Running Scared. So these
and
guys,
Dan Hyena,
Dan Hedaya, Carla's ex-husband, he's great. He's one of the. I think he's probably one of the best captains or whatever, or police chief, you know, whatever he's supposed to be. He's their captain, I think. I don't. Are they sergeants or are they just detectives?
They're just detectives.
They're just detectives. So he's probably their captain or lieutenant, maybe.
He's the captain because I kept calling him captain.
Okay, I didn't catch that.
That's okay.
But he's like, he's got very little mayor on my ass stuff. Most of his stuff is actually pretty reasonable. Like, when he gets mad at him, it kind of makes sense, and he's not overblown about it. And when he hears that they're leaving, you know, then he's like, okay, you know, and he kind of starts setting things up to, like, get the new people.
What are you going to do, open a bar?
Exactly, exactly. And that's great. This movie is, if no, for no other reason, I'm watching it at the beginning.
For Joey Pants?
Yeah, Joey Pants, Joe Pantoliano, gets plugged. He plays Snake with the weird punker hair. The first like few minutes of the movie are kind of bland and whatnot, and I'm kind of thinking I'm going to give it a bad.
The opening song with the gritty Chicago.
Yeah, I liked that part for what it was. It was cool. They introduced this is all in Chicago, and so they shot at Chicago in the winter, and it's all dismal and everything. So at the beginning of the movie, the 16 years of being detectives, they're kind of grizzled, but they're not like grizzled. They're jokey.
And they started very young.
Yeah, they started when they were 20.
Or 18, depending on who you believed.
That's true. I'm inclined to believe Billy Crystal that Gregory Hines is 36 and not 34.
I'm starting to get like that. Though, you know, it's really kind of weird.
You're starting to lie about your age?
No, I kind of want to. But it's weird. The whole time I've been 27, I keep thinking I'm 28. And I have to remind myself.
I'm starting
myself,
to do that too.
Oh, that's not that bad. I'm still 27. Yeah, I got a year back.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh shit.
I'm almost 28.
I'm almost 28 now. And I'm like, oh fuck, I'm going to start thinking I'm 30. And that's not cool.
Yeah, no.
All you old fuckers out there, I don't know how you do it.
They don't listen to this. They got babies that they got to
bullshit.
Make money for. And they got women
to, the fucking
to make them take trash cans out and stuff. Nag, nag, nag.
That's true. They got to go outside where they stash their beer next to the trash pickup and and get lost, find their way back to the house while she's probably curling her hair and kids are squawking. And
then she's going to slip and then get it in the bathtub and electrocute herself till her eyes foam out.
No, better yet, like the dude in Halloween 6.
Halloween 6.
Where his head explodes.
Mm-hmm.
He was not very nice.
Yep. So,
because his daughter was a whore, and he pretty much told her she was a whore, so that makes him a bad guy when he's the hard-working real estate agent.
Yeah.
So, of course, he has to die, even though she's the whore with the kid, still living under his roof. Exactly. He's still feeding both her and the little bastard. Explain that one to me. And she fucking survives.
Sounds like it hit you kind of close to home.
Yeah, it pretty much did.
Okay.
Well, I expect to be that parent someday.
I imagine. Very likely, God willing, right?
Yeah.
Because
she'll probably be just like her whore of a mother.
Like her whore of a mother that ran off with...
Ran off with Mario.
With Mario, yeah.
And Luigi.
Anyway,
Jesus.
So, they're basically hanging out in the south side of Chicago, or I don't know, it's some slummy
part
of Chicago.
They're in Chicago.
Yeah.
They move around.
In the snow. But it's all the real dour, ghetto-y spots. And they notice that this guy that they busted years ago just is making a deal. So they go run after him, and they don't catch him. They catch the other guy, Joey Pantaleone, who's got a bunch of money. And so they go to set him up.
$50,000.
So they try to set him up to wear a wire to bust this other guy.
And he's wearing, like, Mickey Mouse underwear.
Yeah, it's funny.
That are very, very stained.
Yeah, it's very creepy. He's probably a child molester in this. Oh, it's just subtext.
Yeah.
But he... so he brings him in.
I don't know. If I was a little kid, I don't think I'd accept candy from him.
They're trying to bust old, what's his name? Jimmy Smith's.
Julio.
Who plays Julio.
Gonzalez.
Gonzalez, the bad guy. The main bad guy. Who's just a real idiot. The bad guy's motivation, it's kind of not important. Because this is really almost...
He's just very...
It's more of a character study on two sort of like cop guys. You know, they're kind of at their wits' end. And so basically...
Yeah, neither one's married.
Yeah, they both are divorced.
They're both divorced?
Yeah, Gregory Hines.
Oh, right, Ori had one, Ori been one.
Yeah.
They had a lot in common, so they fucked.
Yeah.
Not Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines.
No, there's that a little that in the subtext, but not really.
A little that in the subtext?
Yeah, a little homoeroticism going on.
Is that because of the tit shirts?
The tit shirts.
This is... You gotta check this movie out.
The rollerblading...
Just for the tit shirts.
The tit shirts are good.
Have tit shirts been in anything else? I can't
think of anything else.
No.
But Let's get to that. We'll get to the tit shirts in a minute.
And you gotta watch it on DVD or like on cable too.
Blu-ray probably.
Blue, yeah, fuck.
Blu-ray.
I don't know if it's been released on Blu-ray.
Damn well better be.
Damn well.
Anywho.
Because you see, if you watch this on like TNT or something, they would cut out the tit shirts.
I know. It's a travesty.
It is a travesty.
They'd cut out like the seven. Like,
it's like fucking Ted Turner trying to colorize Citizen Kane. It's just, you don't do it.
Nope. Not do that. And the seven ass shots and whatnot. So eventually they go to the set to bust this guy with the wire on him. And it turns out that it's all a setup and that they're about to get gunned down. And they're basically facing their own mortality because they just jumped the gun. They got too crazy. They were too off, half-cocked or whatever. And they lucked out because two of the guys that are there with guns pointed at him happen to be undercover agents. So it turns into a firefight. They catch the guy.
Oh, shit.
And then at that point, you know, their boss, Carla's ex-husband, chews him out a little bit and says, look, you guys need to go on vacation. You're getting weird, wigged out. And like, well, you know what would happen if we left? And he's like, once a cop says, like, starts thinking that the city will fall apart just because he's not there, then you know you need a break. You know, you're getting a little wonky. So, also Billy Crystal's wife, or not wife, his aunt Rose has died, and in her will, she left him $40,000, this estate thing, after taxes. So he's got a chunk of money, so he's in a pretty good mood.
Which was considerably more money.
Yeah, back in the 80s, yeah, it was a good chunk. And so they go to Florida on vacation, they go to Key West, and they just sort of have a fun 80s montage, hanging out with chicks and roller skating and catching fish.
Like, even in Chicago, they're probably, well, they're detectives now. They're probably only making 30 to 40 grand a year.
They had nice little spots, but they were, you know, they were dingy bachelor pads, you know? I mean, Gregory Hines' place was pretty nice.
Well, I just remember it was a New York cops, like a B cop, making as like 28,000 or something like that in the 80s. Like 85, 86.
Under Koch.
Under Koch.
So they're on vacation, and they basically realize they calm down.
Didn't he become like a Judge Wapner type, too?
Something like that, yeah. They decompress. There's an awesome Kenny Loggins duet song that everyone that's seen the movie knows about. I thought it was Lionel Richie for some reason.
It could be.
Maybe it is. But it sounds to like Michael McDonald a lot, but it's not. You said it's not, and I'm inclined to just believe you.
No, it's not Michael McDonald. After watching 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, enough times, yeah.
Enough times, yeah.
You get it. And so they decide, Billy Crystal's like, you know what? He decides to buy a bar down there and fix it up and retire. They'll just retire. They're sick of being shot at. The experience that they had before going on vacation where they almost died was enough for them. I mean, 16 years of being cops, you know, and they're good cops. You know, they don't play by the rules necessarily, but they don't, you know, they don't take any shit from anybody and they know what's up. So these are good guys. You know, just like they're sick of it. And that's to me when the movie actually becomes pretty interesting, is then they come back and they've got like a month that they're going to, you know, put in their 30-day notice, and they're very afraid. And that's where I guess the title of the movie comes in. They're running scared because they're trying to sort of run away from the city, and they're debating it about themselves, whether or not they really want to stop being cops and whether or not that's sort of like being chicken
because
shit.
Because what other profession can you
shoot
have
people.
And shoot
yeah.
people?
Yeah. Exactly. Which is, I mean, in terms of act breaks, it's paced a little weird that way because it's sort of like an action cop movie, and then it takes this little break for them to go on vacation, and then it comes back to that. But that's also very real to life. I mean, where people like have shitty jobs and shitty, cold, dismal places, and then they get their week that they go and they have vacation and they love it, and it's great and they relax, and then they have to come back to the shit. And in this case, it's like it really grounds in the sense that, like, you know what? It makes sense that if they've got the money, they might as well just want to quit and go off and, you know, be happy. And so they're doing their cop thing, and they're trying to bust the guy again because apparently he made bail and he's still committing crimes. That's, if nothing else, that's one of the biggest flaws in this movie, is that they pretty much nab this guy, or this guy commits things on such a level that there would be so many APBs out on him that he couldn't just operate freely in the city, which is what it seems like he pretty much is.
80s.
He's walking through airports and stuff.
Where the criminals took back the cities.
Yeah, that's true. It is the 80s.
Before Giuliani cleaned up the whole country.
It's before Giuliani and Reagan came in and really... Well, no, Reagan was still around, but...
Reagan was the cause of the inner cities blowing up. I'm not going to argue about how great Reagan was and blah, 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 blah. But when he killed all the fucking social programs, you had the onslaught of AIDS. You had the Reagan administration didn't do anything about. You had the onslaught of crack, and they came up with...
Just Say No.
Just Say No, and that, of course, did much good for everybody. That and those fucking commercials with the egg in the frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't have any drug problems in this today and age.
When everyone's like, no, man, the government needs to do more social programs for people, man.
Yeah, so they can put it up their fucking arms.
That's right, they can put it up their like, arms.
Put it up their goddamn ass.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, with the tapeworm.
We're not going to do it for you. We're just going to encourage it by encouraging you not to do anything yourself. And running scared. So they get back from vacation, and basically they tell their boss, they tell the captain, Carl's ex-husband, we're done, we're out. They go get bulletproof vests. They're basically very scared at that point, and they want to just, they want to try to catch this one guy that's been a thorn in their ass for a while. This
mostly it's Billy Crystal that's gotten paranoid.
Yeah, but the other guy kind of gets it.
He's getting paranoid because Billy Crystal's not all together.
Not really, yeah.
So he's worried he's going to get shot by Billy Crystal, was the way I took it.
I never got that. Maybe he's that paranoid.
He goes and gets a vest.
Yeah?
Billy Crystal.
Oh, and the Billy Crystal
drops his gun.
His gun, and it shoots.
And it fires.
Yeah.
And then Reagan Hines wants to...
I think it just illustrated to him, hey, this. Remember, we're in environments where guns go off.
And I was thinking about that, and I think that might actually be possible with that particular gun. Back in the Old West, most cowboys only carried 5 shots in their 6-shooter.
So they had an open one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't have a 6-shooter, though. He had like a, it was a 38 or something like that.
Right, but it's still 6 shots.
Yeah.
But see how there's the hammer on them?
Yeah.
And see, when you drop the hammer is down.
Yeah.
That pin is resting on top of the bullet. So if you smacked... this,
just the heart,
it would fire.
It would fire. Oh, I get
you. So you left that chamber empty, yeah, so you didn't shoot yourself on accident. And their guns were like that. Much exactly. More modern, but still had the firing pin on the hammer. Most revolvers these days have what's called a transfer bar safety. There's no firing pin on this, and you actually have to press the trigger, and it lowers a block that blocks the firing pin, and then boom, firing pin goes. And then you release the trigger and it pops back.
I get you. So, possible accuracy in the firearms of...
I figured you guys, would want to think about that. That's think cool. About it hard. You don't want to blow your dick off. All you little gangbangers with holding your guns fucking sideways like an idiot.
Like they're going to cap.
Like they're going to cap and probably either shoot themselves or shoot, the neighbor's dog or something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The other two undercover cops are brought in to sort of be to sort of apprentice under these guys.
And you have the dude, you have Wolfman.
You have Wolfman, John
Probably
Grease.
Because of the Hyams connection.
Possibly. It's John Grease, who anyone would know was sort of the lackey, not really lackey, he was like, I don't know if he was supposed to be the techie or what, but in The Pretender. Him and Peter.
And he was Uncle Rico.
Bacandacavo or whatever. And he was Uncle Rico. Anyway, so...
he usually played a scumbag, too.
Yeah, he's usually a scumbag. But he's not too bad in this. But he's not really very much of anything.
Kind of
he's pretty,
scumbag,
pretty inane in this.
I mean, he shoots Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty ridiculous.
He should generally get suspended for that.
Yeah, there is kind of a weird... thing to the lack of proceduralness
because it's a movie,
but you don't worry too much about it because it doesn't try to take itself super seriously.
No, it doesn't.
But it's got a great car chase.
I mean, they throw their fucking pants down.
Yeah.
At Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, there's some ridiculous shit in it, and it's got a car chase that then translates to the L train where they're
with
on the tracks
with the priest and the nun.
Yeah, priest and the nun
in like full on total priest nun garb.
Yeah,
that they probably wouldn't wear.
They keep it in the habit.
They keep it.
And and then they eventually, sort of track the guy down. And there's this whole thing about Billy Crystal's ex-wife, who he still really cares about. And it's kind of...
she's marrying a dentist.
It's kind of thrown in there in pieces. But then at the end, they kind of use
her
to be
this... pieces, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a plot device.
her to be the damsel in distress. To force him to bring the drugs to, you know,
build my Judy coke.
Smith. Yeah, my coke. Ah, oh, that, man.
Those harsh.
Fucking Jimmy Smits.
He had the Uzi guy for that.
Uzi guy was in this movie briefly.
Uzi again.
Uh huh.
Shit.
That's why he's called Uzi guy, because he's always got the Uzi.
Unless he's being Endo, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sort of the opinion. I honestly don't know how I would act, but I think that if I cared about someone, if my lady friend was taken hostage, say I'm a badass. I don't know. I wouldn't do first of all, I would never do the, if you touch one hair on her head, they won't be able to bury you deep enough, you know?
But then you get the maniacal laugh. Ah,
yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would probably just be real low key. I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And then I'd hang up. And they're like, I need you to bring all of my coke and don't tell any cops. And dip the burr or she dies. I'd
be like, I am a cop. What the fuck?
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And I'd just hang up.
And then you'd hear a call back. And then you'd hear the splat.
They're taking a finger. Taking a finger.
With no hole.
No hole.
Just the splat.
No hole, just a splat. No, I mean, I don't know. You just don't, you don't fucking take any shit from stuff like that.
It depends. It's like that show James Woods in Quitters Incorporated.
I don't remember that one.
Cat's Eye?
Cat's Eye, yeah.
And freaking Alan King's talking about, you know, shows up at his little girl's school.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you say about that. You could go ahead and sacrifice your whole fucking family, but some people might have a tough time with that.
Well, I understand that once you've got a family and you care about other people, that, like, you know, that's
maybe more, not your ex-wife, that's but your kids.
That's more important than yourself. But, I mean, at a certain point, there are things that are more important than both of those. And sort of not
what, principle?
Yeah, not negotiating with that kind of crap, not letting that sort of stuff stand is kind of, I don't know. That's just my take on it. I mean, you know, the other side of it is that you just aren't the kind of guy, you don't capitulate. Which is why I always love that in episode 5 of Cowboy Bebop, when he just shoots that guy in the head. You know, when they've got Faye, the guy's got the gun to Faye's head, and he's like, come on now, why don't you just put your gun down? And he's like, in mid-sentence, he's like, what's the matter if you don't? And then he just shoots him right in the head. He never pulled the gun off of him. He never puts his gun down when someone tells him to put the gun down when it's a hostage situation. Because he just realizes. It's the same in Heat with Al Pacino, where he just shoots that guy. He shoots Tom Sizemore right in the head. You just do it. You just do it or you don't do it. You know what I mean? But you don't capitulate.
Well, he had a good...
He had a good train on it.
He had a good train because you have to sit there and what's his name? And that scene, Tom Sizemore didn't have the gun pointed at anybody. Didn't have it pointed at the little girl.
Got to give it a second.
Had he had the gun pointed at the little girl, it might not be such a great idea to shoot him.
Might not be, but you never know.
Because that sudden brain injury could cause him to flex, and boom, there goes the little girl's head.
You got to know right where to hit him.
And then you're really kind of fucked up, so it's not like you're going to get any pats on the back.
It's not like that little girl's going to live anyway. Like Tom Sizemore's going to let her go at some point or something. Who knows what's going to happen? He's going to get hailed down.
It'd be even better if he, you know, if in that scene, Tom Sizemore had just fallen on top of her and, like, smothered her to death.
Mm-hmm. It'd make more sense.
It would, because he's such a fat ass.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like you don't capitulate. But Jimmy Smith just couldn't become what did he want to become? The Latino.
The first Spanish godfather of Chicago.
Yeah, Spanish godfather of Chicago. Didn't happen for him. He was first. It was his coke. Got Billy Crystal tossed it out, and then he got gunned down and had the old escalator. Twice. The escalator fall off.
Right, which I swear it. He had that in Die Hard too.
The escalator roll out.
He had that in The Presidio.
Mm-hmm.
I swear it's had to have been like
that. Might have been a Peter Himes movie also. Presidio.
It was.
It's possible because he did Outland with Sean Connery. I just have a sense that maybe it could have been. I am not basing it on anything other than my weird ESP for things like that. No.
I haven't.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
Oh, The Presidio?
No, I haven't seen The Presidio like all the way through in a while. I don't really like Mark Harmon.
I like Sean Connery.
Yeah, though. I like Connery.
There's the great scene in the bar.
Yeah, well, okay.
With his thumb.
We can watch it. Yeah, we can watch it one of these days.
But thumb's too good, too powerful for you, so I'm going to use my right thumb.
Yeah, I like it. I like this movie. I liked Running Scared.
I did, too. It's a great, this fun. Is the kind of movie I would watch by myself because my childhood was just chock full of fun like that. And, I'd have my whatever, my fish sticks and tater tots for dinner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd watch a movie like this.
Yeah.
Or a movie like Spies, like some 80s action-y kind of movie. And I'd make a night of it.
It's all pretty fun and pretty straightforward.
Because I had all kinds of shit like this on VHS when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That had been recorded off of HBO.
HBO, yeah.
And Showtime and stuff. It's funny, the tapes, even though they were being recorded in EP, always were really great quality. And old VCRs, I think there's something to this. Old VCRs were just a hell of a lot nicer.
So I think good times. I think I'd give Running Scared a 3.5 out of 5. I might be giving it better
than... I'd give it like a 2.5 or a 3.
I might be giving it better than it deserves, but just the idea, for if nothing else... When a movie can communicate like one sort of like abstract,
emotional
feeling.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about what I'm talking about. I guess here. How about this? Why don't you start to say something, and I'll say, "What are you talking about?" And then because you didn't get to finish it, it's not like there's any chance for comprehension. The idea that of them being these cops, kind of being used to this world, being very entrenched in it, and then having this experience where they almost die. And then going on vacation and relaxing and actually learning to relax and experience something more pleasant in a different environment. And then the fear that is associated with them coming back to where they were and kind of being shot gun shy and whatnot about things. That to me, I don't know, they just felt like it felt very authentic, I guess. And it's something you don't often see in a lot of these buddy cop movies. It's kind of like that's their life, that's their situation. And usually, here's the thing that's weird about this one. Usually, they're foils. Like Riggs and Murtaugh. Riggs lives in a trailer by himself, bachelor, and Murtaugh is too old for this shit, and he's got kids and a family. He's grounded. Neither one of these guys is grounded. They both are, they're kind of with each other, and they've been together for a long time.
Even in Stakeout, Emilio Estevez had the family, and...
Richard Dreyfuss?
Richard Dreyfuss's girlfriend or whatever, if you had split on him. Moved out while he was at work.
That's strange. That they kind of
Which worked the in older... the whole romantic angle with Madeline Stowe. Yeah. That looked especially hot in that movie. Especially hot.
Unlawful entry hot?
She didn't seem as hot in that.
Yeah, she wasn't that hot. No.
Her hair wasn't as big. That's probably what it was. But anyway, getting back to...
Running Scared.
Did we mention the tit shirts?
Yeah, you mentioned it a bunch.
It's the highlight.
When they were on vacation, when they were on vacation, they had the tit shirts, and it was awesome.
I noticed these things.
Good to notice. Good to notice.
Yep.
But no, I don't know. I don't know. I give it a good, probably a way too good a rating because of that.
I understand that.
Because of that, and because of the L Train car chase. That to me is just such a unique thing, as car chases go. I don't know, I appreciated it more or something. And because Dan Hedaya was just real straightforward as the captain and didn't overdo it. And because I like Peter Heim's cinematography.
And the montage.
I love the montage. But
a montage in an 80s movie should make it good for a 3 all by itself.
Sometimes. But the Peter Heim's cinematography, indoors and in locations, is always really dark. It's very neo-noir, and I like that. So, it kind of has elements of stuff I like. As a whole, I'd say that the parts are better than the sum to a degree. Because as a cop crime, buddy cop funny crime story, the crime story part of it is pretty ridiculous. And, Billy, the bad guy can kind of keep getting out and... It feels like a Batman sort of thing or something. It feels like a comic book kind of where they catch him and then 2 weeks later he's back out running mayhem again.
That most likely
I mean, it's entirely possible that that's just actually very true to the way things are, obviously, is that, you know, a criminal that's doing that for a living is going to...
Not if you shoot a cop.
Yeah. Or responsible.
They have him on tape.
Saying that he was responsible...
That he was responsible for the murder of a cop.
Had Joey Pants saying that.
He wouldn't be getting out.
Yeah, exactly. So
there would be no bail.
Exactly. So that was all a little screwed up, which is, I think, was just a flaw in the movie.
They Unless for some reason it was ruled inadmissible.
They should have had him just constantly be getting.
But
away
if they
from
were going to wire him to begin with, it should have been. They should have gotten a warrant to begin with.
It might have been that they didn't have the warrant. And that was part of why what's-his-name put him on vacation, is because they kept going off on their own rather than doing proper procedure, and they fucked up
the DEA.
They almost got killed.
The DEA's.
Yeah, if they had tried to get a warrant, that probably would have come out, and then they would have been like, "No, here, calm down." But that happened again. It wasn't the DEA, because those two guys that were undercover were cops, right? They ended up coming and working for them.
The captain mentioned the DEA.
That's true. He did. I don't know. It all got a little confused. Like I said. The whole is not better than the parts. If you like the style, if you like Chicago, you know, a car chase on an L train, a nice 80s montage, and just that sense of...
We need to watch The Hunter.
Panic and whatnot. Is that... That's the Steve McQueen's last bounty
movie.
Hunter movie?
But there's
a
great car chase scene in Chicago.
I totally want to see that movie.
I need to buy it.
It could be the last one you buy for a while.
Oh, I'm still hurting from the last load, which Mick came in the mail today. I still haven't checked.
Yes. Anyway, Running Scared from the 80s. I don't know, like 86, 87?
1986, yeah. Man, five years old.
Yeah, so was I.
You were.
Well, I was born in 81.
When
did
you graduate high school?
Say 1999.
Big 10 years coming up.
Big 10 years is coming.
You gonna wear a big nacho hat?
I'm gonna wear a nacho hat and
sequins.
Assless chaps.
Fucking feathers.
Assless chaps.
Just pretend.
Sequins.
It's a minister's funeral.
I'm gonna pretend I'm at Boss Hogg's funeral.
Oh Jesus!
I'm gonna have my six
shooters.
Have my six shooters. I don't need to shave my ass. I'm not a disgusting man. I'm an attractive man. We attractive men don't look bad when we're naked.
So you're a bear?
No.
No.
No, I'm a handsome man.
I don't want
to. Yeah, I get you. No, I think we know which one of us is the bear here.
And which one of us is the twink?
Oh, God, I'm going to kick your ass. You homophobe?
Homophobe.
And racist?
Racist.
And
you
right,
bring it
right,
out,
right, right-wing zealot?
White. Right. This needs to be edited. I hope you know.
Think of the power.
Power.
I'm gonna edit all the best racist stuff together into one best of racism bit.
You gonna send it to Rainy Hagen? Just quick shout out, if anybody has a copy, a cassette tape of this soundtrack,
Send it.
RSVP it to.
Well, you can send me an email with your situation, and I can send you an address where you can mail it. Preferably anthrax free, if that's cool. Because I mean, it's not going to be like I'm going to ask someone to send a tape for free.
No,
they got to get something from me. They got to get.
Send
an email with a request of what maybe a review request.
Commerce. Interstate commerce.
Maybe they want me to record answering machine things for them since I'm kind of a celebrity on the internet now. You know, I'm saying, hey, this is Ian from Feudal Podcast. You know, Mario's not here right now. If you want to leave a message with your name and number, that'd be awesome. Or, you know, I don't know. Let's say it's a hot chick named Melissa. Daquanese.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, yo, 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 Daquanese not here. You got to chirp this bird later.
Good God.